Well, yes, it's going to happen. The United States Open Championship is this week. Welcome back into the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Bob Bupka. So proud to be with the STL Golf Geek himself, co-host of this podcast, Jay Randolph Jr. And Jay, let me begin by seeking some help, because I woke up Monday morning and I thought I was in a time warp. I thought I heard somebody say, and winner on the PGA Tour was Stuart Sink, and the winner on the Champions Tour was Miguel Jimenez. Is that possible? Did that happen?
It did happen. What a tremendous week for Stuart in California to have his son on the bag. And maybe he's still got a little more to muster. We talked, Bob, on the show last week about it being a little bit of a weaker field. There were still some really good score shots. Some guys like Harry Higgs got to show again that they had game. And it was really tremendous to see Stuart put it away. I mean, a lot of guys had a chance that final nine holes. But Stuart used his veteran knowledge and his tremendous ball striking, which he can still do, and the fun of having his kid on the bag. Great win for the Georgia Tech product. He's something. That's tremendous stuff for him.
Yeah, 11 years since his last win, and what a win that was. Happened to be at Turnberry, and that was the battle with Tom Watson. Yeah, I mean, amazing stuff. And before we go any further, because somebody's threatening to pull the plug right now, if we don't wish our executive producer a very happy birthday as she celebrates, and nobody works any harder than our executive producer, Janice Self. So, Jay, I know you want to join me.
39 again. Good. I'm so happy for the hammer. Happy birthday, Janice.
Thank you, Jay. She certainly deserves it. Now getting back to Stuart Sink and that incredible victory, let's give a little listen to what Stuart Sink has to say.
I definitely had a lot of emotions out there today. I just was overcome at a few times with a feeling of gratitude and just feeling like how fortunate I am to be in the position that I'm in. You know, as I'm, you know, last four or five holes of a PGA Tour event, your name's on the top of the leaderboard. I got my son caddying for me. My wife is in almost 5-year remission now, and she's walking out there just on the side of the ropes. And at 47, I'm able to, compete at the highest level, and now not just compete but win.
Pretty amazing stuff when you think about it. Not only did he have his son caddying for him, his other son, Connor, also happened to be celebrating his birthday that day. So quite a day for the Sink family. And to Mr. Jimenez, I bow down to you, sir. You are probably the most underrated golfer. That's his 10th win on the Champions Tour, Jay. 10th win. This guy's amazing.
He is amazing. He is a amazing human being, a fun-loving sort. The stretching, the wine, the cigars, unique individual, and really good for our game, and probably really good for the Champions Tour, because when they get back to having crowds and people, he loves interacting with folks. I mean, you can sometimes look at him and think, this guy's got to be crazy, but I've sat next to him on a stool before, and he has a good time.
Well, I can say one thing. I guarantee you, if we start to add up how many people you sat on a stool next to, that number would get pretty high. Well, let's move on now to the 120th U.S. Open Championship at Wingfoot. Social distancing and COVID-19 testing firmly in place. There are going to be no spectators, of course. The field's going to be a little smaller, Jay. 144 players. That's the lowest since 1932. It was only 140 then. Normally, 156 players. So in reality, Mr. Randolph, somebody's going to have a little better chance at winning a major simply by the fact that there's less players.
This is not a United States Open. The term open championship means anybody with a handicap of whatever it is now, 1 point something or 1.9 or whatever, can pay their entry fee, show up at a golf course in a city, try and qualify. If they make it through local qualifying, they go to sectional qualifying, and they can play their way into the United States Open. That is not the case in 2020. This was a field selected by the United States Golf Association. So let's not forget that. That unique aspect of the U.S. Open is a little different this year. You know, I'm not saying that that many guys have won the championship by going through the open draw through the qualifying process, but it is part of the mix. So it's a little different here. And as Bob mentioned, they take it down to $1.44 from $1.56. The change, I think a year or two ago, instead of the 18-hole Monday, they will go to a sudden-death playoff, a hole-by-hole playoff. I guess now, you know, that's part of the tradition that is lost. We've seen it with the other majors go to a couple of holes or whatever. You know, I always rooted for a Monday because I'd make my parents get me out of school early.
Yeah, I liked it when it was a Monday, but you know, the big LFP, and they certainly sure didn't like it. The cut will come at low 60. End ties are going to make the cut, and as Jay just explained, after 72 holes, it'll be a hole-by-hole playoff until the winner is to be determined. Well, the USGA said today, COVID-19 discussions of whether the U.S. Open would go on, and after negotiating with other organizations, you know, at one time, Jay, the thought was that the U.S. Open was going to be played in December in Los Angeles. They were a day away from making that decision. But then when it was decided that the Open Championship was not going to be contested, that date opened up. And that's why the U.S. Open is at Wingfoot here in September.
Open that September window for them, which, you know, we're going to talk about in a little bit, the difference in June in New York and September in New York agronomically for what they can do to this golf course is big. Yeah, they were looking at maybe a back-to-back. I know they're going to be in your part of the country for the U.S. Women's Open in December in Houston and doing something in L.A. I don't know whether they said the golf course or not, but they were looking at Los Angeles. Now, the rough, you know, we should say, first of all, it's a par 70 at 7,477. Big boy golf course to start with. Now, I heard they did trim the rough a little today, that it was so bad that the USGA got a sense that they better lighten it a little bit or ease it a little bit. I mean, that's how big the rough was. The most important people, maybe the first 2 days, Bob, maybe the ball spotters.
Yeah, new term. Probably not many of our listeners ever heard that, but Wingfoot has decided that they will employ some ball spotters. They're even using some Wingfoot caddies as spotters. And since we're talking about caddies, you know, one of the stories that popped up this week, and certainly Wingfoot is full of stories, back in 74 when Hale Irwin won, he had a 16-year-old high school student that was a caddy at Wingfoot, and they hooked up before the start of the week, and Hale asked him if he was available. The kid said yes, and after Hale made his winning putt and got the trophy, he invited his caddy. First name was Peter. I forget his last name. Doesn't really matter to the story. But he said to Peter, come in the locker room. I got to take care of you. And they walked in there, and Hale Irwin reached in his locker and for a split second had one dozen golf balls, but then decided he'd be generous, and he picked out another dozen, handed the kid two dozen golf balls, and said, boy, you had a hell of a week. My, oh, my. The caddy this week will make well over $100,000. Can you believe how much times have changed?
They certainly have. There's no doubt about it. Little change in the field. 48 of the top 50 are in the world rankings are playing. All but Koepka, who withdrew previously with the injury, and Scottie Scheffler, who tested positive this week for COVID-19. Also, European Tour player Sam Horsfield tested positive. I know Brendan Grace was one of the guys who got into the event. Bob, there are only three listen to this stat. Right now, in the top 10 in the world, there are only three players without a major championship victory. Rahm, that's coming in November, Xander Schauffele, and Bryson DeChambeau.
I'm glad you mentioned the name Bryson DeChambeau. Out of one of his press conferences, they said, Bryson, what are you up to? You know, because he's always trying to stay ahead of the curve. And he says, Well, we're working real hard, and we're awfully close. We're going to put a 48-inch driver in the bag, and that should allow me a club head speed of somewhere around 210 miles an hour. Good golly, Miss Molly, can you believe it? 210 miles an hour?
That's great. That's wonderful. I'll be curious to see where he is on the leaderboard Sunday, if he's on the leaderboard Sunday. We'll see. I think this is either a hit or miss. I don't see DeChambeau being 18th this week. I just don't see that. I think he's either going to, fall into this golf course and hit his driver perfectly, or else he's going to maybe be going to Yonkers Raceway Saturday and Sunday.
Well, he could do well there. I never did. I'll guarantee you that. A lot of people are going to be rooting for Phil Mickelson. His 29th U.S. Open start, 6th second-place finishes. Boy, a win would put Phil firmly in the history books. He's already in the history books in my, my way of looking at things. Obviously, it would give him the career grand slam. He'd only be the 6th player ever to do it. Does Phil have a shot?
Yeah, he's got a shot. I mean, I don't think it's a big shot. The 74 and change is a big boy golf course. I know they all hit it long, and Phil can still bomb them. But you know, the thing that can keep him around is potentially that short game if he's on with it. He's in my top 10 right now, but I mean, a win here and a career grand slam after having 6 second place finishes in the sucker. I mean, it probably puts him in the top 7 or 8 of all time, to be honest with you. I mean, especially when you look at the amateur and junior career, the guy won everything. He won everything until a guy named Tiger Woods came around. He knows he's got to drive the ball well. He talked about that. And the fact that just like at Normandy, where I used to be, Bob, you know, the greens were designed in the early 1900s. And, you know, they were rolling like football fields then, 5 or 6 on the stem meter. Now they're getting these things up to 14, and the undulations become just, virtually impossible. So, you know, the USGA's got a tall order to maintain. This is a situation which can get out of hand, just like Shinnecock, in a different way. So I'm going to be curious to see how the golf course is set up, especially the first 2 days.
One other thing I found out that had we been around a few years earlier, well, quite a few years earlier, we might have been good buddies with Mr. A.W. Tillinghast.
Absolutely.
Well, a couple of his hobbies, he loved to go to the opera. He loved to go to the ballet. But he also loved to disappear for 3 or 4 days on a drinking binge, which we could have made it a threesome. And he also was very well known to pluck down a few wagers. And if he lost, he didn't have the money instantly available to pay up. So there was another side to this great architect, Mr. Tillinghast. And you want, let me just throw this in because I'm going to forget about it. But this is as weird gets. Claude Harmon, as you well know, Jay, head professional at Wingfoot, for 33 years. His son, Butch Harmon, Butch's son is Claude Harmon, who's now the coach of Dustin Johnson. Claude Harmon on Golf Channel today, when asked, you know, about Wingfoot and how special because of his grandfather, this, that, and the other thing. Claude Harmon said, this is only the third time that he's been to Wingfoot in his life.
Huh. Who'd have thunk that?
You got that nail right on the head. Who'd have thunk that? Well, we don't care what we think. We do care what Gary Woodland is going to do. He's the defending champ. And what we wanted to know from him is, what will the key be for him to defend?
I mean, the golf course is in front of you. There's no tricks to it. You just got to step up and hit good shots. The key this week is you got to drive the golf ball in the fairway. If you don't do that, you're going to be wedging out, and you're going to be trying to hit wedges close because you're not going to be able to advance it too far out of the rough. So for me this week, and what I've kind of put an emphasis on the last couple of weeks being home, is driving the golf ball, and that's definitely going to be the key this week.
Tell you what, talking a little fast there, Jay. when I hear a defending champion talking that fast, I get a little concerned. Well, let's give him another chance. We wanted to know his strategy regarding this heavy, thick, rough.
The fact that we have marshals is going to help. You know, usually you hit it outside the ropes too. You're hitting it in the crowds, and you got some trampled down lines. We don't have the benefit of that this week. So you're going to have to drive the golf ball and play. They do have progressive rough, but the progressive rough is so thick, it drops to the bottom. So a huge key of keeping the golf ball out of that thick rough. And then when you do get in and take your medicine, get it wedged out and attack from the middle of the fairway.
Pretty good advice there, I think, Jay. Just wedge it out. Don't try and be a hero, because at Wingfoot, trying to get it out of that long, thick rough, you go from a hero to a zero in rapid fashion.
Well, and let's be honest. I hope it's that way. I hope it's what you remember, and I remember the U.S. Open. It's okay. It's all right. It's 1 week. It's one of the hardest golf courses in the world. It's September. They can have the greens perfect and lightning. I'm not going to – we'll see. They trimmed that rough today. They knew they had a problem. Advancing the ball 60 yards with a wedge is what I'm talking about. But if you start seeing guys hitting 5 and 6 irons, 200 onto a green and holding, then it ain't right. So I hope Bob, we're set up for what you and I had become accustomed to what U.S. Opens were, and that's part of premium, and a difficult golf course.
And. Certainly well said, Jay. I mean, it is our national championship, and to make it difficult, I'm certainly in your camp. Now, going to be interesting to see what Tiger does this week. Certainly hadn't been playing well up late. The question for Tiger was, how many drivers is he going to use?
I think a lot of that is dependent on which way the wind is blowing. You know, the forecast is, you know, 3 of the 4 days be blowing out of the north, and I think that that will make a difference. You know, some of the tee shots that we hit today, slightly different wind than what we played on Sunday. And so I think that strategy-wise, it's ebb and flow. For me in particular, I'm trying to play to certain areas. Whatever club that is, it could be 5-wood, it could be driver, or 3-wood. I mean, I'm trying to play to a specific spot and then move on from there.
Well, that spot better have short grass, or that back certainly not going to hold up. You agree, Jay?
I do. In that same Mickelson category, if everything goes right, if Tiger, and I shouldn't say if everything goes right. I mean, the days of Tiger winning by 5, 6, 7 are over. If he can put himself in an opportunity to be within 5 going into within 5 or less going into Sunday, he's got a shot, and he knows it.
And that's exactly what he's going to have to strive for. Within five of the lead going into Sunday, when the golf course is as tough as this, he certainly would have a golden opportunity to win major number 16. All right, the world's number one player, Dustin Johnson. We asked him, how difficult will Wingfoot be?
So far, it seems very, very hard. And, you know, one of the harder ones I've ever played. So, but, you know, it's fair. You know, there's nothing real tricky about it. You got to hit good shots. You know, U.S. Open, you got to drive it straight, especially at this golf course. I mean, you have to hit the fairways. You know, and then once you hit the fairways, it doesn't get much easier from there either. But, you know, you really have to hit the fairways. The rough is, I mean, it's not super deep, but you just can't play out of it. You can't control the golf ball, and you can't get to the greens from it. So, you know, it's definitely a premium on hitting fairways. But, you know, the golf course is in fantastic condition. It's, you know, I'm looking forward to this week. It's going to be a good challenge, but I like it.
One of the members was asked, what makes Wingfoot so hard? He paused for a half a second and said, well, probably because it has more tough holes than any other golf course. I think that's a pretty good explanation. And speaking of tough, well, the tough part is behind Rory McIlroy. Now that his baby daughter is born and everyone is healthy, he's happy about that. He hopes he's going to be able to focus more on his game. One key for him, though, he's got to get off to a good start in that first round. For him, he says that sets it all up. And the big question, too, for Rory McIlroy, how is he going to handle these tricky greens?
You have to have a lot of imagination. You know, there's, I think, a lot of feel involved. I think especially on these greens, it's, you know, where's the easiest next putt from and where's the easiest next shot from? I think there's a lot of thinking ahead on this golf course and okay, where can I leave this next shot that I have the, you know, the most routine chip shot or second putt or whatever. So there's a lot of just thinking one step ahead to, you know, so, you know, you're, as you said, a 50-foot putt like that, you're maybe just thinking of, you know, if I can leave this 8 feet below the hole so my next putt's coming back up the hill, then, you know, that's a good thing.
All right. Good thinking there by Rory McIlroy. And good time for you to grab a little bite to eat, Jay, because we're going to welcome in here Bryson DeChambeau. And we asked him, does he think differently now that he has this bulked up body?
I'm hitting as far as I possibly can up there. Even if it's in the rough, I can still get it to the front edge or the middle of the greens with pitching wedges and nine irons. That's the beauty of my length and that advantage. Now, obviously, if it's into the wind and there's some of those situations going on, then it's going to be different. You know, there's certain holes I might lay up on just because of the situation. But for the most part, I'm going to be trying to go after it as much as I possibly can.
All right. He's not backing down. That big stick going to be coming out. We'll see how long that lasts. Wingfoot, just not a place to be overly aggressive, that's for sure.
You look at the featured groups, Bob, for the opening couple of days. Colin, how about this one? Colin Morikawa, the most recent major championship winner of the PGA at Harding Park, along with Justin Thomas, the 2017 PGA champion and 15-time major winner, Tiger Woods. Morikawa is looking to win back-to-back majors. The first, Spieth was the last to do it. Was Jordan Spieth, and Morikawa is just kind of quietly under the radar a little bit, you know, which I kind of like. Webb Simpson, who is one of the best at hitting greens in regulation, and that's going to be key here at Wingfoot, will be paired with Sergio Garcia and the Englishman Danny Willett, and then this trio, Rory, Adam Scott, and Justin Rose will tee off together.
Yeah, there's a lot of good, you know, obviously it's a national championship. Going to be very interesting to see what Jordan Spieth is going to be able to do I saw him late on the range on Wednesday afternoon with his coach. They were looking for a golf swing. Boy, oh boy, I can't think of a worse horror story than on the eve of a National Open at one of the toughest golf courses in the United States, and you got your golf coach putting your club in a position that he wants to see it. Boy, I've been told a long time ago, you cannot buy a golf game. And certainly, if you could, they would be highly priced on the eve of a national championship. Jordan Spieth, it's the secret, as Ben Hogan said, is in the dirt.
After we hear about my golf course, or the golf course I work at, I wish it was my golf course. I used to own like a tee marker, not a tee box, a tee marker. Gateway National Golf Links, and oh, I wish I had a piece of the Kapalua Villas, because that's where Bob and I would be staying all the time, not just once a year in Maui. Bob and I will make our predictions on who will become the 120th National Open champion and catch up with some other news around the world of golf.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Enjoy golf as it was meant to be played at Gateway National Golf Links, a stunning links-style course in the St. Louis area. After all, it is the number one public golf course in St. Louis, and it's the only one with bent grass fairways. Only public course in the region with bent grass fairways. Gateway National offers golfers the rare opportunity to return to the rich traditions of the game with rolling links in the heart of the country. Gentle mounds and plenty of tall grasses. Spacious fairways, and of course, when you play number three, well, you just aim for the Gateway Arch. That's right, the iconic St. Louis Arch is right there. Gateway National Golf Links, the number one public golf course in St. Louis, and the only one with bent grass, with a friendly staff to make your day a memorable one, to make your tee time the best way and the best rates, are online at gatewaynational.com. An added perk, if you live here in the St. Louis area, you purchase the season pass. Walters Golf Management manages 8 other properties, and you'll get playing privileges at those golf courses. Gateway National, always in great shape. And remember that website, gatewaynational.com. That's where you'll find the best rates, gatewaynational.com.
The Kapalua Villas Maui is the official hotel partner of the Grill Room Golf Show during the Century Tournament of Champions, held each January at the Plantation Course. We thought you might like to hear from General Manager Bill Reese on the advantages of choosing Kapalua Villas Maui for your next vacation.
We've got the weather, we've got the beach, we've got the golf course, we've got the palm trees, we have properties facing the golf course, if that's your cup of tea, where you can actually watch the golfers on the fairway. We have properties in the ridge, which is high on the hill, so you can get a very panoramic ocean view of Molokai and the tropical environment. And also we have the bay villas, which are right down by the Onaloa Bay, which is oceanfront. Fully equipped kitchens in every condo, washer, dryer, and there is a refrigerator freezer, so you can have that ice cream at midnight without having to go out. We've got the friendly people and the aloha. There's not much more you could ask for.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room, here with Bob and Jay, and it's our U.S. Open preview. We've previewed it. We're going to have our picks in just a second. If you want to find Bob on Twitter, you go to Bob Bubka, V-O-G, the V-O-G for Voice of Golf. I'm a little more active than Mr. Bubka. STL Golf Geek is my moniker on Twitter. Love to hear from you like we do our man over the pond, Darren, who I'm sure has made some wagers this week. And now it's time for Bob and I to make our predictions. Bob, one thing we do want to point out, you're talking about Friday possibly could be rainy and even a low of 46 to start the morning. So weather could be a factor, especially for those guys that may have the late early draw. Who do you like at Wingfoot?
Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you the honor, Mr. Okay. Randolph Jr. You pick who you want, and then I'll make my selection.
The layup play is Dustin Johnson. I think he's got a really good shot to win. I think if anybody runs away with the tournament, it's Dustin Johnson or John Rahm. I mentioned earlier in the show, I think they've already fitted the green jacket. It's in a closet in the butler cabin waiting for John Rahm, whether it be this November or some April. I think a guy that has been prominent this year, but not necessarily lately, is primed, and partly because he's got his buddy back on the bag. And I'm talking about Justin Thomas, and I'm talking about Jimmy Johnson. I think Justin has the type of game to win an Open. I know he does. He does, too. I'm going with Justin Thomas.
You know, he has the physique of Webb Simpson, so it certainly would be no surprise. I'm going to go with Xander Schauffele. My backup, somebody that you touted a long time ago, and that's John Rahm. It's hard to believe that no Spaniard has ever won a U.S. Open. John Rahm, certainly strong enough to get the job done.
Bob, are you a little surprised? I mean, you know, it, because of such the short time period from the PGA through the FedEx Cup to where we are today. I mean, like I said earlier, and maybe it's because he's still so young, there's not a lot of buzz about Morikawa. Watch out for Morikawa. If he gets himself into the mix on the weekend, we've already seen two point-blank occasions where this guy don't blink in the heat.
Pretty solid pick. Pretty solid kid. Pretty solid player. I just don't think this is going to be the week. More importantly, though, a good friend of In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, and he has been for a long time, and I'm talking about John Daly, diagnosed with bladder cancer, had a procedure to remove it. John said he was told it was 85% likely it would return. So when he says he'll have it done again, and then basically, believe it or not, he said, after two times, I'm just going to ride it into the sunset. And boy, would I love to be along for that ride. That would be something special. You can do it, John. You're tough. You're a great individual. You've been great for the game of golf. Everybody wishing for a complete recovery. Something else that's going to have to recover, the Australian Open, they just announced due to the ongoing COVID-19 issues, they've had to postpone their championship from December to February in hopes that restrictions will be lifted by then. Remember, Adam Scott won it back in 2016.
Yeah, that potentially can hurt their field, because that's in that situation where you're really getting ready for everything as it relates to the majors and the Players Championship and all that stuff over here. So, you know, it's a great event, and hopefully it'll just be 1 year where they have to play it in February and they'll go back to December. Well, we'll be back next week to go over all that happened. Bob picked Xander Schauffele. I'm going with Justin Thomas at this year's U.S. Open. Until then, follow our In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay podcast on Audio Boom, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite podcast site.